Greens.
Freedom Beans Live. It is Sunday. Also Mother's Day. It is May 12th, and we are coming to you live. My name's Nima Vidotti. I'm representing that Austin, Texas.
This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in rural Wyoming. And I just want to say a shout out to my mother in heaven, because she passed some years ago. Love you, mother. And I want to say hi to my wife. My wife is a mother. Our stepson, Sean, is in the Army. We want to say thank you. We salute you. And rock and roll, man. Sean.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? I just want to say hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. How you doing? Yeah, I want to say hi to my mom, too.
I'm gonna email your mom the call-in number.
Oh, good. Yeah. Sometimes she likes to call in.
Yeah.
That's an interesting time whenever your mom calls into your radio show. But we'll have fun with it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Michael, what's on the agenda today, man? We've got a few different things to move through, don't we?
Box fresh. What, ho? Got any guns, governor?
That's our new thing. Guns today.
Okay, let me explain. Yeah. Box fresh is it's a British term meaning like something's really cool. It's fresh. This band is box fresh. But it comes from how sneakers feel when you take them out of the box. And I got new sneakers. And
that
what
new
is
new sneaker smell?
Well, they don't yet. So my feet don't smell. They sweat a lot. Don't smell.
The new house smell, the new car smell. You know what I'm saying.
The new wife smell. So box fresh, what ho? What does what ho mean?
What ho? I remember hearing it in an Agatha Christie play I was in high school. And, I think it's supposed to mean like ho, like land ho, like there or forward.
And we'll just leave it at that. And if you have no follow-up questions, this is radio. So box radio. Fresh, what ho? Got any guns, governor? So you had me.
Have any guns today, I think is how I say it.
I was your wake-up call today. I had to call you because your wife was antiquing at a wedding or something. And so you asked me to be your wake-up call. And I said, hello, Mr. Vidotti. This is the front desk. Got any guns, governor? Good. All right. We'll just come take those away right away.
Yes. We're saying that's going to be the greeting eventually in the British Commonwealth. Guns today? Oh, well, we'll just go and take those then. Oh, yes. Lovely.
Yes. Got any printable guns? We'll just take those. So Leland Yee, yesterday we had Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, on. It went really well. And then late yesterday, probably in response to him being on the radio, Leland Yee, a senator, congressman, I don't know, some tyrant, supposed to be good for you.
He's a state senator in Cali, so he's in a state house. He's not even in D.C. He's a localized tyrant.
Yeah, but in California, you know, a state senator probably has more pull than, like, I don't know, a Wyoming federal congressman. But, you know,
even more than a San Francisco supervisor on the board of supervisors. We're your supervisors.
They have their own thing there. They don't have a city council. We are supervising you. Yes. We will tell you what to do.
They think they're just super. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, they're really nanny. They love those in San Francisco. They love those stop me from being stupid laws. Although, so do the small government Wyoming Republicans, like the one that's sponsoring the We Need to Tax the Internet bill to save an old method of doing business, because those are the people that elect them. But, you know, I guess that's how it works. You elect someone to steal for you, and they're supposed to steal in your direction. Like, Ron Paul was even criticized that for giving pork to his district. But he's like, what did he say about that?
Well, basically, he said, well, if the Congress doesn't spend it, the president is going to spend it. And I'd rather have it be in the legislative branch than the executive branch. That's kind of a cop-out, but I think the point is the political system corrupts everybody and anybody. And, you know, that's... it's very small, relatively. I mean, I think Ron Paul was probably the best congressman ever, but still, yeah, he brought home pork to the district and all that kind of government stuff that we don't like.
I just had a brilliant thought. Someone said in the chat room, which you can get to by going to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom foxtrot echo November Sierra.com, and click on the little pink coffee cup over on the right. It says Fiends Chat and log in with a name. People like to make up different names every time they come in. And if you're polite, you can say whatever you want. As long as you're not rude to us, we'll let you on our property. You know, you could be like a straight up communist and we'll let you stick around to be indoctrinated if you're cool. But you could be like totally like libertarian deist, agrees with us 100%. But if you kick against the pricks in our chat room, we will kick you out. That's period. That's biblical. It's right there.
Yeah, man, because that's our property. It's our website, man. It's our chat room. And when you're a property owner, you get to choose that. Like, I think we would all think you're well within your rights if somebody's yelling in your home and throwing things around and smashing your glasses and yelling at your wife. You are fully within the right thing to do to kick them out and tell them stop and lock the door and never let them in again.
And say, that's my wife. I get to yell at my wife. And these immigrants coming over and taking our jobs. And I want to see the birth certificate. And if you deal drugs in my America, sir, I think they should just take you out and shoot you.
Excuse me, sir. I think you're a little aggressive. We all need to be a little more progressive. Maybe eat some tofu, calm down. What do you say, huh?
Fiend drone. Deploy the fiend drone. Man, damn liberals coming on my talk show. I don't like it. This is America, and if you don't like it, you can get out of my America. Nation just lying. Nation just lying. Worms.
Whoa,
we were testing the fiend drone. Yeah, we had two callers at once. It was some like conservative and some liberal, and they were screaming at each other, and we're just saying, hey man, liberty, don't oppress people.
Liberty.
Aggress.
Freedom.
Don't aggress, don't oppress. Yeah. So there's this thing in the chat room. Someone said a printable gun for everyone. And you know, you did a song. I don't know if we can play it on radio. You'll have to do a radio edit someday, but
I will have to do a radio version, yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but when it comes to hip hop songs I make, I would always want to go through and make sure there's no naughty words in there.
But I think you should do a remake called A Printable Gun for Everyone and make it kind of like synth poppy, like that band The Post Office, you know? You know them?
The Postal Service?
Postal Service, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what is. I'm old.
I can't imagine the style in my head, but what I'm thinking is kind of The Cure and Joy Division.
Yeah.
Like that kind of? Okay.
Yeah, a happy Joy Division. Or like when you watch that show, How It's Made, you know, where they show robotic everything. Like the music they use in the beginning of that. Make a version
or like Kraftwerk, like
Kraftwerk, exactly. Make a version of A Gun for Everyone. Call it A Printable Gun for Everyone, and make it like Kraftwerk style, like you know, Euro disco.
So it's like futuristic almost.
And then when you do the video, have Cody Wilson be the Santa Claus instead of Ben Quaker this time. I'm serious, man. For Christmas, right there. I'm going to write that down on the Fiends to-do list.
You're going to put it on the calendar, huh?
Yeah, and you can actually go over.
The remix.
You can go over and print, you know, go over to the FEMA camp where they have Cody by then. No, I hope not. That's, he would joke about it. I think he would. I don't know. But you can go over.
Remix.
You could go over to his house and you live in the same city, man. You could go over and film him as Santa Claus.
I could do the filming myself. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Yeah. I'll put that on the docket.
On the docket.
We'll attend docket. it in Fiend Court. Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So Leland Yee, whose dad...
Oh, the topic. Yeah, I think we forgot about that.
His dad, state Congressman Leland Yee, who wants to outlaw or regulate... He wants to regulate 3D printers. Government, you know, the Soviet Union highly regulated Xerox machines when they
first
started.
Everything?
Yeah.
Oh, did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That seems like a nice little tidbit to help explain how this whole thing works and sort of the tools that government thinks it has and the appropriate response to things. They will ruin a whole industry or a whole item, you know, a whole segment of the market just to stop one tiny thing that might never happen.
Yeah.
It's really awful. It's an over-response. It's overkill. And it is the opposite of a market transaction.
Yeah.
It hinders the economy. People want to know why the economy is so horrible. It's because the lawmakers sit there and think up nothing but stuff like this all day, every day. And you wonder why people have a tough time starting a business. And you wonder why people have a tough time finding jobs and finding productive work. It's because every direction they turn, there's some government law that has been written by some government lawmaker that's enforced by some government goon or goon agency.
That's so square. And, we do like giving out tidbits here on the Freedom Fiends, like bite-sized Liberty bits for the teaching hospital of Liberty that is the Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What ho? Box fresh. What ho? Got any guns, Governor? Good. I'll just take that. So
have
did
you
hear
today?
Did you hear about the bedroom tax in England and the woman who killed herself because of the government and said that in her suicide note?
Whoa. I think I'd read the headline, but I didn't read the whole story. I would
Did you hear about the bedroom tax?
Really interesting.
We should talk about the bedroom tax when we come back. It's well, we got a little more time. I can talk about it really quick. In England, if you have a home and you have more than one empty bedroom, they tax you £60, like $100 a month for having an empty bedroom. This is like the most
How do they
insane...
even define empty, though? This like, do they have to send somebody into your house to make sure it's empty?
Well, don't they just have telescreens in everyone's house, like in 1984, which is English?
It's not everyone's yet. It's select houses. It's in select houses near you. The government cameras.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah. So square,
but,
man.
But like with any government program, that's how it starts. Like the income tax. Oh, we're only going to tax the top earners. And then now, the income tax is way more prevalent. That's how government projects operate, man. They get the foot in the door,
like Leonard Cohen,
and then they
saying,
just barrel down that slippery slope, if I'm going to mix metaphors.
Like Leonard
there.
Cohen saying, man, the rich will have their cameras in the bedrooms of the poor.
Wow. So the bedroom tax, man, that is awful. And I wonder, because sometimes you have an extra bedroom, but you don't use it as a bedroom. Like you use it as an office or a home podcasting or radio studio.
I have one bedroom that just has nothing. It's empty. It's white. It's like lit really well in there. All it has is like my first microphone on a stand.
So in England, you would have to pay the government extra money for having that. And what are you supposed to do? Demolish it?
For my media, for my mediocrity in broadcasting museum that I have here in my home.
Rent it out to homeless people?
Yes.
Do you get a pass if you do that?
Yes.
Is that what they want?
Yeah, it's probably an Agenda 21 thing. You know, I don't go out all into conspiracies like there's a grand plan for everything, but there is a thing called Agenda 21 of the United Nations.
It's written down.
It's written down. Text. It's on their website. You can read it. And it's kind of vague, but it basically, you know, one of the things is we want everyone to leave the sparsely populated area and move to the cities so we can help them more and administer them and keep them safe and, you know, steal all their money and keep an eye on them and make sure they don't have any 3D printers. So yeah, Agenda 21, that sounds like an Agenda 21 thing to me. It's like they don't want you know, living somewhere that's not downtown where you have empty rooms on the Freedom Fiends.
They don't want you to have any kind of independence or any kind of self-reliance. They want you to rely on them for everything. Everything in the state, nothing outside of the state. Just like the old, good old fascist Mussolini. That's what they want, and we're not going to let them have it. So we'll be back from the market.
Almost. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
The market in free liberty media is overwhelming these days. With such a selection, what would entice a freedom seeker to spend precious time listening to an old bullet-scarred liberty warrior from an age gone by? Would homespun logic and down-to-earth explanations of economics tickle your attention? How about a truly original view of that ugly old dragon, the state? I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. And we have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Bad Quaker.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Yeah, and we're back. This is Freedom Fiends Live, Sunday, Mother's Day, May 12th. And I am Nima Vadadi. On the other end of the internets, we have Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Box fresh, what, ho?
Doing very box fresh. Have you any guns today, sir?
I don't know. I'm emailing your mother. Yeah.
emailing my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am uncomfortable by the level of familiarity you have with my mother, but that's okay. I'll live with it.
Well, you've had my dad on. I actually haven't told him we're on radio because, I don't know, he'll call in every Saturday and Sunday for the rest of my life. We had him on.
So you don't want your parent to call into your radio show. I'm kidding, Mom. I love it when you call.
What's that Facebook blocker thing? That Saturday Night
Live block.
Mom block. Yeah. Oh no, Mom's on Facebook. Yeah, like you know, turns pictures of you with a bong into pictures with a saxophone, and turns pictures of you with I don't know, saying something about these right.
Keep it radio fresh.
These, yeah. There was one. It's like, Glenn Beck is an idiot, and then it turns it into you saying like, puppies are neat. Yeah, I can't find your mom's. Yes. I'm gonna have to call her. So yeah.
Yeah, you can do that later, maybe.
No, I'll do tomorrow. It during the show, man. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna call her for Mother's Day and wish her a happy day. Yeah, but yeah. So we're gonna talk about a few things. One is the name of this, I guess, episode. Do radios have episodes? We did podcasting for a really long time.
We can call it the show. The name
of the show. Yeah, okay. This is show.
Although then the show is kind of the overstructure. Like the show's every show. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The installment. Show, installment.
Yeah. Well, this one today.
Broadcast.
This one today is called Felonious Carry of a Concealed Radio. Because, you know, we like the First and Second Amendments, or actually, we like, more specifically, we like the right to free speech and the right to keep and bear arms. There is a difference because those rights are innate. You're born with them. The amendments are stuff written down on paper that's in the National Archives under helium so it won't fall apart. And, you know, it's kind of falling apart anyway because they're kind of, I mean, really, rights are what you can keep. That's what our friend Paul Bonneau says, you know. He goes,
not only that, I think they all extend from property rights in the first place. Both of those things, right? The right to self-defense is the right to protect the property that is you, your body, and the things you own. And the right to free speech is just the right to use your mouth and your vocal cords because they're yours and you own them.
And a lot of people don't get to strike the root of all that, to the root of that. Like, for instance,
yeah.
You know, it came out that the IRS targeted patriot groups and Tea Party groups for audits.
Of course they did.
And, you know, and all the comments on it are like, this is an unethical use of government. And I'm like, but that's like saying,
that's redundant.
You know, they kick us in the face every week. And this year they're using cleats on some of us. That's not ethical. No, it is a drag. And I would hate to be the victim of that. But it's like, you know, taxes, man, taxes. Taxes are stealing, you know, just because someone writes down on paper. Yeah. If your neighbor, like, talk about the if your neighbor thing concept. If your neighbor wrote down on paper that he has the right to rob you.
Well, that's a beautiful lens to view it. Murray Rothbard said, if you want to understand the state, just think of it as a gang of thieves writ large. But I think you can even go a step further and just say, would it be right if your neighbor did this? So when it comes to taxes, would it be right if your neighbor wrote up a document? This is almost a Larkin Rose thing. If your neighbor wrote up a document, called it his constitution or the neighborhood or the block constitution, and in it said, you must remit taxes to my house weekly in the amount of 50% of your current earnings. And because of that, I will have to see your current earnings, and I have the right to audit you. And if you don't remit payment, I can come and forcefully take the payment from you. You would think that's insane and that's ridiculous. Well, you know what? People are people. There's no magical stone that turns government officials into people with extra moral rights or a different moral category. That is just silliness and nonsense. Everybody should be held to the same moral standard, the same level of accountability. And so if your neighbor can't do it, the government shouldn't be able to do it either. And so that's the neighbor lens, and it's wonderful to use that. If the government ever does something, just think, huh, how would I feel if my neighbor did that? The other thing is, and this is a different aspect of neighbors, is when it comes to the state loves to have a snitch culture. And they love to have people come to it for help and dispute resolution because it wants to be the monopoly of everything. So when you have a giant overbearing state, a huge giant government, which is a I think it's where government goes to anyway, because once a government takes hold, it slowly moves or quickly moves to increasing its own power. And once it's big enough, people will go to it when they have a dispute with you. So your neighbor will call the cops on you. Your neighbor, even when you camp, you know, I was in Yellowstone once, and the person didn't like that I had my headlights on because there was a buffalo right next to my picnic table. And I wanted to make a fire, so I turned on the lights so I knew what the buffalo was doing.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. Get the app by searching Jane-Ome on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ome.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, and we are back, all you fiends out there. This is Freedom Fiends Live. It is Sunday, May 12th. Mother's Day. I'm Nima Vidati. On the other end of the series of tubes, we have Michael W. Dean.
Worms.
Worms and peace and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we've got a few different directions we could go here. We could do the obligatory Obama bash. We also wanted to talk about Terminator 2. Since it is Mother's Day, there's a wonderful mother-son story in that piece of art. We could also talk about the controversial DC march that Mr. Adam Kokesh is
Let's do all that, man. Box fresh gun ho. Got any guns, Governor? All right, I'll just take that from
guns.
You.
I have any guns. All right, well, Michael, you lead the way.
Well, when seconds count, the cops are only 10 years away. That's.
I didn't even give that as an option, but that is a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, people give options. They're not always the right option. People say, you are a Democrat or you are a Republican? And we're like, those boxes don't fit on our huge minds. So,
high capacity ballot boxes need to be banned.
Yeah. Although somebody told me that. Actually, my wife said that when given a situation where I'm misunderstanding somebody and there's like a multiple choice of what they might be meaning, I always go to the Armageddon one. You know, like, I didn't take out the trash. You want to kill me? No. I'm kidding, exaggerating. I'm not crazy. But that happened with me and you yesterday. Like you said, I'm working really late. If you want to call me in, if you want to call me at an hour before the show. I thought you were saying, like, I'm not a responsible person, and I would like you to give me a wake-up call, Governor. But no, you were like, you had a reason. It's long and convoluted, and it's a one-time thing. But it's, yeah. So anyway, let's talk about T2 and why it's the best movie ever.
Okay.
Terminator.
Okay. Well, you've heard the David Allan Coe song, I presume, where he says, you know, my friend told
committee?
Me.
Oh.
It was the best country western song.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it wasn't, because it didn't have anything about mama or prisons or rain.
Trucks.
And then he sings and pickup trucks. And then he sings a verse that's basically all the country western cliches.
It's a beautiful song, man.
It is. And T2, you know, it to me is the quintessential action movie. And I'm pretty biased because it was probably the first major action movie I watched. My mom and me watched it together when we were 7, and we both have described it as our favorite movie. And I think the reason me and her are on that sort of level is because there is a wonderful mother-son relationship. It's all about Sarah Connor and John Connor, and the fact that John Connor is supposed to be the savior of the world, and the mother has to train him to do that. And they have this sort of back and forth. He goes to save her when she's in the mental hospital. Just a wonder. You know, there's no love story in it, which is interesting. My wife said, you know, what it's missing is a story about love. And I said, no, it has love. It's just not romantic love. It's mother-son love.
Yeah, mother-son love. And there is some, you know, the Terminator originally has like no morality. He's kind of a blank slate. He's a robot. He has no morality. Right. He has no empathy. And by the end of it, he has empathy. You know, I know why you cry. I can't do it. What is his line?
I know now why you cry.
Yeah.
But it's just something I can never do.
Yeah. And, ooh, we got a call here.
Right. And there's the point where he's about to just get this guy that was about to attack John Connor. John Connor, the kid, he must be like 12 or he's a preteen. And he pushes the Terminator's hand out of the way and the gunfire misses the dude he was going to shoot. And he says, no, you can't kill people. And the Terminator goes, why? I am a Terminator. It's what I do. And he tells him, he says, you just can't. He doesn't really give him a good reason.
He programs him not to. And then the Terminator never kills anyone again. He just wounds people to get them out of the way. And he shoots a million cops in the thing. I mean, there's a scene where it's like, the cops are here. How many? All of them. Yeah. But, you know.
But he goes out and he walks towards the cops and they're shooting him and, you know, that's no big deal because he's the Terminator. I don't understand why they don't run away. Like if you're gatting somebody with an AR, like
or a Gatling gun where he actually has a Gatling style minigun.
Yeah. And they just stand there shooting, like not running away when they realize their bullets aren't hurting this Terminator giant dude. And he just walks up towards them and he pushes one and he grabs the tear gas from him and he just shoots tear gas at all the cops.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not out. I mean, he's not out to kill a bunch of cops. He is out to save the world, and the cops, being the arm of the state, the government, are in his way. There's two kinds of science fiction, basically. There's the science fiction where the state is the enemy, or some rogue aspect of the state is the enemy. And then there's the kind of science fiction where the uber UN, global, you know, galactical UN is the good guy. You know, like Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Federation. You know, and I tend to kind of like the more libertarian-oriented stuff where it's like, you know, one man against the universe or one man against the world or we love the other action movie. What's the one that's kind of a farce that my face is in on Sandra Bullock's office wall?
Demolition Man.
Great movie.
Another great 90s action
makes
movie.
Makes big fun of
the nanny state. He gets a ticket prints out from the wall when you say a naughty word. There's only one restaurant. It's Taco Bell. And their meal is like a carrot that they serve you on a plate.
Yeah.
The thing about Terminator 2, though, that I can't co-sign is the prevalence of the great man fallacy, right?
One man can save the universe. Well, that's a really common thing in movies and books and fiction where, like, you know, because the reader, the viewer can insert themselves in it. And another problem I have with Terminator, we were talking about this yesterday offline, off the radio, was 80s movies and beyond, they feed you the moral. It's a morality play with a clear cut. We will tell you how to feel every step of the way and definitely at the ending. Whereas I kind of like 70s movies better, like Taxi Driver, at the end you're like, is that guy a hero, a villain, just crazy? Like what just happened?
Yeah. It's like you were a voyeur and you have to make your own call. Like, and people might come away with different interpretations of what just happened.
Well, you know what? The Terminator 2 is also an example of the universal soldier, which is kind of a motif that goes back to like pre-written. And it's not one man against the world. The Universal Soldier is kind of a spirit of an unkillable, or like he lives thousands of years. It's kind of like every Universal Soldier is the same entity, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a morality play for people to be soldiers and be told what to do by the state, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the governor, man. That guy went to be governor. Okay. How statist is that? Let's define statist. Define statist. And what is the state? When we say the government, we don't mean America. We don't dislike America in particular. If we lived in England, we'd be screaming about Parliament, period.
Right.
That's
right.
It. It's the state. All governments are immoral. They all F with everybody. They all steal. They all exist by pointing guns at people. They can only write things down. To make anything more than a suggestion, they have to threaten to point a gun at your head and throw you in a cage. That's how governments work. It's not moral.
We use the Stonian definition of state and the differentiation between the state and the government. So the government is the people. It's the actual buildings. It's the physical manifestation of the state. The state is different because the state is that feeling in your mind, that thought in everybody or most people, that it's okay for a tiny minority of people to have a different moral category. And it's good if a tiny group of people controls the lives of everybody else. That is the real enemy, because that's the only reason why the tyrants get to do what they do. If they didn't have people obeying them, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And so the state is the real thing you attack. You can't have a violent revolution. You can't go attack the government because all you will do is since the state is still in people's minds, all that will happen is there'll be a new government and it'll probably be worse. Look at Iran after the Islamic Revolution of 1979. It wasn't supposed to be an Islamic revolution. It was supposed to be a modernity thing, like kicking out the American sock puppet dictator and then we'll all be free. But what happened was, since there was still a state after the dictator got rid of, there's just a new dictator and he was worse.
Worms. Yeah.
Worms. But I do want to rip on sort of the great man fallacy in Terminator 2, because there's two aspects of it. Not only is it the Miles Dyson who creates Skynet, if they did kill him, somebody else is going to pick up that work.
It's kind of like the unintended consequences of the drug war, of when the cops go out and bust, you know, the drug kingpin in some county. Eight smaller drug wannabe kingpins all move in and just slay each other in a bloody battle in the street that a lot of bystanders get hurt in. And a lot of times the cops will kind of, like, if there's a drug dealer who is kind of keeping the peace but moving the stuff, they'll probably tax him. They'll probably be like, hey, pay us off and we'll, and we won't arrest you. But it's not just about the taxation. It's about making their job more cushy, because they don't want the battle in the streets, because it makes them have to do some actual work.
They have to do too much paperwork.
Not ethical work, but just actual work. They have to actually up out of their donut chair.
But there's another great man thing in Terminator 2 as well. John Connor. He's supposed to be the leader of the resistance, and the whole movie is based on the fact that that Skynet would go so far as to send a robot back in time. Like, they discover time travel, and that's the one thing they decide to do, is go back and kill John Connor. And the resistance does the opposite. They send somebody back in time to prevent the death of John Connor. And I'm thinking, you know, if it weren't John Connor, are we supposed to believe that nobody would lead the human resistance? Like, people would just fall over and die and be like, oh, well, I guess the robots get to kill us now because there's no John Connor. No.
In time travel, can't you only go back and not forward in most fiction that's thought out well? Because the future hasn't happened yet, you can't go to it. Or I guess there's an alternate thing. I don't know, man. But isn't most time travel backwards?
Going into the future. In movies and stuff. But, I mean, there's always sillinesses around that, because why not just keep going back in time ad infinitum, you know? You did this one thing when you went back in time, so we're going to send somebody else back in time. And you can just... It's an infinite repetition, and it makes no sense.
There's actually a Futurama that does that really well. It might be one of the movies or an episode. I'm not sure, but they keep going back. I think they have to go. They go back to the beginning of time and then circle around to the end of time and come back, because they can only go back in time, but time is a circle.
And that's...
Hey, we got a caller on the call-in number.
Okay.
Yeah, we gave it out in the chat room, so I want to answer this right now. Let's put Steve Fien on. Are you there, Steve Fien? Air. All right, keep yakking. New to this. Weeds in his front yard. Okay. Steve Fien, you're on the air. Hello, Steve Fien. Yeah. What's up, Steve Fien?
Yes, hello.
Hey, where are you calling from?
Yeah, so I'm calling from Missouri.
Cool. Show me.
And I have these weeds growing in my front yard sometimes. Sometimes they get a little long. Right. And, of course, I get a message in the mail. Your house has been condemned.
What?
Whoa.
By the city.
Really?
Like, literally condemned? Yeah. Like, with no prior warning or please take care of this problem or we will condemn it? They just straight up condemned it, huh?
We're going to keep you on for after the commercials, because I want to hear about this. This is bizarre, man. Freedom Fiends with Steve calling in from Missouri. Next.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
All right, and we're back on Freedom Fiends Live. It is Sunday, May 12th, and we brought over the caller from the last segment. So I'll let Michael introduce him, and we'll go ahead and talk about the problem of the city condemning your own property.
Yeah, Steve Fien is live from Missouri, and he had dandelions in his yard. And Steve?
The government hates flowers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What happened, man? Yeah. Are they going to bulldoze your house for some dandelions or something?
Yeah, well, I thought they would. You know, there were some weeds in the front yard, over 4 inches.
Wow.
And they said rubbish on the lawn as well, although there was no rubbish. I don't know. Hmm. But that's what they sent me. That was what was in the letter. Yes, your property will be condemned.
So what did you do next? I mean, did you have to go beg for your own property, or what happened?
Basically, yeah. I had to call up the city and just be like, that's ridiculous. There's no rubbish on my lawn. There's no rubbish on my property at all. Of course.
Did they act like you were the crazy one?
Did
they act like you were in the wrong?
Yes, absolutely. They were like, you know, hey, you're the one having a problem with your weeds. But of course, they did. They actually were okay with it, though. I mean, it must have been like one of my neighbors. You know, it's one of these things where it's like, you know, somebody's selling some property nearby and they're like, oh, well, that looks bad. So I'm going to call the city on you instead of coming over and actually talking to me and saying, hey, right, I'm selling my house. Can you cut those down for me?
So what are you going to do about it? That's what we want to know here on the Freedom Fiends. What can you do about it?
I contacted the city and just told them there's nothing going on here. You know, there's no rubbish on the lawn. I cut down the weeds. Everything should be good. And they were actually pretty good about it.
All right.
So they held the government gun to your head, threatened to take your property because some flowers, from probably pretty flowers, were they pretty? I mean, my dad always said weeds were just flowers in the wrong place. Were they blooming flowers or what were they?
They were not. They were slightly pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, jungle-like, but it's...
the state likes organized, centrally planned beauty, not random acts of beauty.
Yeah.
Now, okay, one thing I want to know, if your neighbor had come up to you and asked you politely, how would you have reacted then? If he had done the appropriate lib pair kind of thing of, hey, man, I'm selling my house. Do you mind just keeping it a little nicer for the next few months? What would your response have been?
That's my exact point. I would have just gone ahead and cleaned up the weeds, cut them down. No problem. No guns involved.
Yeah, no government guns pointed at your head. Well, I hope it works out. And call back another time. And thank you for your call, sir. All right. Here on the Freedom Fiends.
It's a really important point that sometimes we don't know. You know, sometimes we don't know that something we're doing is offending somebody. And, you know, I'm not saying that people have a right to choose what happens on your lawn. But if you don't know and you're a friendly guy and you're a good neighbor and somebody comes and talks to you, maybe you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know they were trying to sell their house. And so I feel like communication is key, and that communication should be person to person, right? If you want somebody to do something, ask them first. Just ask, man. You know, like in Fight Club, Tyler Durden says, hey, just ask, man. It's all you got to do. Try that first before you go and get the goons to do your bidding for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we can go back to T2 for a little bit. The other thing is...
What would Linda Hamilton's character in that movie do if the state came and said, your weeds are too long? Anyway, go on. Just don't answer that. Go on.
I won't answer it. I'll consider that a joke. Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to it when we come back from the market. We'll have plenty more delicious fiends for your mouth and ear holes. So stay tuned, folks.
For hour two of The Fiends, coming up next here on Genesis Communications Network and select radio stations, the best radio stations around the country, because the best ones are the first ones to pick you up, because they'll take a chance, and they're daring and wonderful. Worms.
Sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
All right, we're back.
Welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live. This is Nima Vidati, and we've also got Michael W. Dean. We are fiending it up a storm over here. How are you doing today, Michael?
I am good and feisty. Feisty is one of my favorite words, because it kind of describes my... my libertarianism, my liberty, my view of the world, although it's kind of described me my whole life, you know?
Yeah, even when you were a statist.
Yeah, I'm 49. I'll be 49 this month. If I were 39, they probably would have given me drugs in high school. Yeah. You know, the state likes to give speed to hyperactive kids. And
they do, don't they?
For some reason. I mean, that's... Does that make sense? I guess it like just overstimulates them to the point of they just go into a walking coma. But, you know, if I was a couple years earlier, I would have gotten thalidomide, which is the thing that was approved by the FDA that the that doctors gave mothers with morning sickness that turned their babies into people with flippers instead of arms. And if I was born a few years later, they would have drugged me with what we call compliacin. Do we have the compliacin ad somewhere? We should play that at some point.
We should. But yeah, that goes right back to the point of the state and the government denaturing, trying to
remove
ruin the natural
nature.
Order of things. In fact, there's way more examples of them interfering with pregnant women and women giving birth. There was a drug they gave, I think it was sometimes in the 40s or 50s, that actually a lot of babies were being born without limbs or really short limbs.
That was thalidomide. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. And
then
there's tetracycline, which I was a victim of. You know, of all these things, it's probably the least bothersome thing to be a victim of. But it was not only approved by the FDA, it's still approved, and it's a very common antibiotic. I was given it for a lung infection when I was a little kid, and it discolors your teeth. You know, a lot of people have like slightly yellow teeth and they're not smokers. They just have it. And I have that. I have stained teeth. You know, basically it stains them in your body and then they grow in discolored and discolors your bones too. Supposedly my skeleton is discolored, but we're going to have to wait to find out. They'll take me to the FEMA camps and cut me open and see. You've been bragging about being dark on the inside. We want to see. But yeah, man.
Well, and fluoride, they put that in a lot of the waters, a lot of municipalities around the United States. Just throw it in the water as if that were a cool thing to do. I mean, just think about that. I mean, what else? Why is it okay to put a drug in the water so that everybody takes it all the time? That's literally them taking.
Would they do that
the
with anything else? Would they do that with? Maybe they would, but I call the water tube that comes into our house the municipal water tube. We call it the tyranny tube.
The tyranny tube.
It actually was leaking last year, and here's another example of people going to the state instead of talking like a neighbor and being a good neighbor. There's this lady that walks her dog every day, and she's really nosy. She always looks into everyone's yard, looks in their windows from the sidewalk. I went out one day, and there were like people from the city digging in my yard or poking at it or checking. So they were in my yard, and I was like, "Good morning, gentlemen. What's going on?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "You've got a leak here," and they pointed down, and I, you know, in the I could see some water, and they I was like, okay, what happened? And they're like, well, someone called us and told us about it. I'm like, okay. And I knew it was her because then, like, days after, like, she kept coming by and looking at it to, like, make sure I was getting it fixed. It doesn't affect her anyway. She lives, like, two blocks away, man. And it was a very slow leak, but it had bubbled up to the surface, like, you know, 15 feet up. And so I was like, well, what do I do? And they're like, well, you have to hire an approved company, and there's only three in town, and you have to call one of them and get it done. And here's their list of numbers. So they have a racket worked out with some people on this. Now, here's the thing. If that lady come to me and said, you have a leak, I would have been like, thank you. I'm Michael. What's your name? And introduce myself and become a good neighbor with her and thanked her for pointing something out. But since she went to the state with it, and I would have immediately, you know, I would have called somebody that day and got an appointment. So from this state sponsored, you know, city approved list of three contractors, I called all three of them, and the inexpensive one said he had like a 1 month backlog, of course, because, you know, people want the inexpensive one.
Yeah.
And the other guy was, he was like $1,500. The other guy was $3,000. And, the guy that could do it within the time the city made me do it. They said, you have to have this done within a week or we're going to, I don't know, probably condemn your house. They didn't say what. They said, you have to do it. So basically, if this lady just come to me, I would have saved $1,500 and got it done promptly, you know? I mean, not immediately, but promptly. And it didn't hurt her. It was a slow little trickle. So F that lady, man.
Here's
that's
the
evil.
Other thing. That would have been a net gain for the economy because you would have spent the amount of money you wanted to spend on the person that was the best person for the job in your opinion. So you would have felt wealthier. He would have felt wealthier rather than being forced into spending your money into a way you didn't want to spend. and there's a thousand of little things like this that happen every day that distort the economy and keep it from finding its true equilibrium and its true not equilibrium, but the best path for itself, which is found through the natural order of the market. So when you go and distort that, of course, it's going to be a runaway snowball effect, and you're going to end up where we are now, where people can't find work, people can't start businesses, and the government overregulates everybody to death almost.
I saw an interesting example of that. There was an article on Yahoo. I think like Yahoo is just hiring straight up communists to write articles now. I mean, they have things like Ron Paul has gone too far by criticizing the police for banging down everyone's doors in Boston. There's another article this week that said home ownership ruins the economy and home ownership stifles innovation. Okay, home ownership ruins the economy. They were basing on the housing bubble, basically like, well, right. You know, this happened, and that's not the economy. That's not home ownership. That's the government saying anybody, everybody wins. Have a home. You get a home, and you get a home, and you get a home.
Exactly.
To people who can't afford the payments. Now, the thing about, they said, areas that have more technological innovation have less home ownership and more renters. And that's a wet sidewalks cause rain thing, because that's things like, you know, Silicon Valley, San Francisco, you know, Brooklyn, places where there's a lot of artists or scientists or thinkers or workers. They are transient areas. And I don't mean homeless people. I mean places where people are either moving in or out all day long.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, well, see, wet sidewalks cause rain.
I was worried when you brought this up the way you did, but you're 100% right. And
why
I think
were you worried? Why did I worry you?
Well, I was worried that you were thinking, you know, I think it is a falsity to say that home ownership is a great thing always and that your home is an asset instead of a consumer good. But I think where the distortion happens, it's because of the state. The distortion is the housing bubble. And I don't think housing prices would be where they are today if it was a market phenomenon. And the thing about home ownership the thing about it is what you're really doing is you're getting this massive debt. I mean, when you go to buy a house, what you're doing is
so you're not a fan of Dave Ramsey? Are you saying you're not a fan of Dave Ramsey?
I don't know his stance on it, but I know here's the thing is there's no one size fits all solution when it comes to economics. There's no everybody should own a home. Home ownership is right for some people and it's wrong for other people. But the government distorted the market and pushed people and incentivized people who it wasn't in their best interest to own a home into owning a home. And then they have a mortgage and then the bottom falls out of the bubble. The bubble bursts and then they can't get out of it because they're upside down, because their mortgage is twice the amount of what they could sell their house for now. Then they're stuck living in that area. They may lose their job, but they can't leave. So they have to stay in town in a place where they can't find work with a debt that they can't pay because they can't sell the house for the price. Those are all distortions that come about from the state interference in the market. So I think home ownership in LibPair could very well be a very useful thing for a lot of people. But when you have the government interfering in it, you have all these wrong incentives and these wrong signals to people. And it can be a liability. It can be a dangerous thing.
Someone in the chat room said, Nima's throwing down Rothbard. I got to put on my bow tie. So, no, I agree. I'm intrigued by your, I was worried, Michael, about where you were going. Okay, that's not how you sound, but you've never been worried in 211 shows. You've never been worried before. You were like worried that I was going to go to, well, you're new to.
Maybe there was some dramatic effect there. I was hoping you'd have an argument.
Dude, I've took my Compliacin, my government-sponsored Compliacin that they forced through down my throat through the tyranny tube. I'm mellow.
Okay. Ben in the chat room brought up a really good point. We've been throwing around the word libpair, and I don't think we've described it
Libertarian
yet.
Paradise. It's our ideal of how things should be and how the world would work with voluntary cooperation instead of central planning. And, you know, statists, people who love the state, we should define that too. Statist is like, you know, a racist is someone who likes their race and hates all other races. A statist is someone who likes their government or the government or government and hates either all, usually all other governments and the idea of less government or no government. Statist. They come with an R and a D after their name. And it's the opposite of what we are. We are freedom fiends. Freedom fiends. I've been told that you shouldn't define something by its opposite, but I think it's pretty clear to say that a freedom fiend is the opposite of a statist, and a statist is the opposite of a freedom fiend.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I think opposites can be useful in defining concepts and language. So I don't know who told you that, but I think that's very useful.
Actually,
that's why they teach you them in school. So
a
statist
told me that. A statist told me that when he said, "What's a libertarian?" And I said, "Well, libertarian is a word that's created as it was created. It's the antonym of authoritarian."
Yes.
Literally. So, and he said, "Oh, you can't define a word by its opposite." And I'm like, "Where'd you learn that? Some state school?" But, you know. So libpair. Statists believe that libpair would be, you know, Armageddon. But there was actually a thing on the Daily Show where they said, like, they had like some Republicans talking, you know, news clips of Republicans talking about how we needed to print more money and blah, blah, blah. And then some Democrats talking about it. Now, I thought this made a great case for no state or no, you know, only voluntary interactions. But they were kind of doing it as like, we need more centrism, I think. But it was basically like, you know, if the Democrats got their way, it would be, you know, they showed like a created animation of the type of Armageddon. And with like the Republicans, it was like a toxic wasteland that looked kind of like, what's that movie? Road War.
Road War.
Mel Gibson.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just walk away.
It was
away.
Like, you know, there were no plants there. You know, it was 118 degrees at night. You know, there was toxic smoke everywhere because there's no regulation. And the Democrat paradise there was two different, like almost identical Armageddons. And that's what statists believe libpair would look like. Whereas we think it would look like a pretty nice place. There would be bumps to be worked out and things to be fixed. But libpair, man, think about it.
Libpair,
envision,
man.
Yeah. Envision libpair.
Right. And if you want more information, go to freedomfiends.com and click on glossary. There's a more detailed explanation of that and a lot of the other terms we use. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Dig that sexy bass line. That was laid down by Michael W. Dean. We did most of these bumps together. Most of them, Michael, when you hear the guitar and the crunchy bass. So thank you very much for your service, Michael.
Yeah. Worms. It's all from my band, Right Arm of Wyoming, which you can search that online and go download it all free.
Can you use the term crunchy to describe bass, or is that reserved for guitar?
You can. That's not really a crunchy bass line. That's more of
it was a beefy bass line.
Beefy, drony, fat.
fat.
Throbbing.
Okay, we'll
go with fat. That was a throbbing bass line, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And it's
sometimes the wrong adjective pops in my mouth and I just spit it out. I'm sorry.
So Right Arm of Wyoming. We had a song called you and I did every bump we have on here, not most of them. We did all of them. I did most of them.
I mean, together we did some of them, but
well, you make
did
it sound like, you know, some of them, you make it sound like we grabbed them from, you know, crappy free royalty free loops.com. No, we made them, man.
Yeah,
we made them.
Exactly.
I built that. So, Detroit, Armageddon. So yeah, there's a song on the Right Arm of Wyoming CD, which was an actual CD, but you can just download the whole thing free or go to our torrent link at freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com and click on the Torrent Club link. There's a song on there called Government is a Collective Hallucination. If I had that to do over, I would call it The State is a Collective Hallucination, because government's an actual thing, man. It's marble buildings and cops with guns, you know, guns
and
in their
brutalist
hands.
Architecture.
Yeah, that is an actual form of architecture used by government buildings, the FBI headquarters in D.C. and the one here in Casper. So, the state is the collective hallucination, according to Ben Stone, and we agree with him that it's the thing in everyone's mind of saying, you know, where you can see that in action is when somebody gets caught doing something that's not a real crime, where there's no victim, like selling a substance or having a gun. The comments on websites of newspapers were say, I hope they throw him in prison and he gets raped. That's the state. That is the collective hallucination of people wanting to outsource the violence by voting, period. All right. So
Or also when people say, you know what they should do? They should just make people get licenses before they have kids.
Yeah.
As if there's a real they, and as if that's a legitimate thing for some overstructure to force everybody to decide whether or not who gets to decide whether or not people procreate. That's the state.
Yeah. Or they just think they don't understand the gun behind all laws. They think, oh, you just write stuff down and it happens. People who say, be wary of people who say, you know what everyone should do? Anytime anybody begins a sentence with that, beware of them. Now, I want to give out the call-in number because we're taking calls today. It's 1-800-259-9231, and that's the number for the Fiends. So, yeah, the state, man, people trying to aggress on others, succeeding on aggressing on others, just by...
We need to come up with a catchy acronym for state.
We have one for fleas. Was federal law enforcement agents.
And Lou Rockwell made one up for USA the other day. That was pretty cool. It was under surveillance always.
Hey, we got a call here. We got Lou calling about the mess in Detroit. You're on the Fiends, Lou. Yeah. All right. Lou?
I'm calling from the Total State Project in the People's Republic of Detroit.
Yeah, it's one of those liberal Armageddons, isn't it?
I don't know that you can call it a liberal Armageddon, but it most certainly is an Armageddon.
So what's going on in Detroit? What's the mess this week?
Okay, a couple articles I posted on the Fiends page is one from Yahoo News and the other was from Reason. Reason gave a better better explanation of what was going on.
I'm sure.
I'm going to read a little bit for you.
Okay.
As Detroit's call it anything but bankruptcy budget crisis drags on and city government is unable to provide the most basic of services, residents have discovered an alternative to lawless anarchy. Cooperative anarchy.
What? Nice.
Basically, what's going on is that all of the looting and all of the pillaging, somehow or another, the money's not getting to where they think it's supposed to be, and basically everything is broken down. And there's a quote on here. When the system fails us, you have to become the system. And essentially what's going on, from the article, citizens are cutting grass in the city parks, boarding up abandoned houses, and charitable organizations have even donated 23 ambulances and 100 cop cars.
Wow.
I like the idea about the ambulances.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And some neighborhoods have even hired private security. And I guess if you want to call it a complaint, that's implied by the writer, is that some people are paying a little bit more than over $300 a year for private security.
All right. All right. Thank you for your call, Lou. And we're going to talk about Detroit and the documentary Detroitopia when we come back on The Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Springtime.
Fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends. It is Freedom Fiends live on Mother's Day, May 12th. How are y'all doing today? I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah, that was going all the way back to 2011. That was Right Arm of Wyoming doing their hit toe-tapping number, Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector?
Ah, yes. Would you, Michael?
No, man, I'm peaceful. Which brings me to, I want to talk about the Adam Kokesh armed march in Washington.
Ah, I think we are obliged to talk about Detroit first.
Okay, well, I'm almost done. There's a documentary called Detroitopia, of all things, which is made by Detroit residents, and it's kind of a weird documentary because it doesn't have narration. It's like a bunch of vignettes of people and the sorrow there and the decay, and it's got things that just made me laugh that weren't supposed to be funny. Like, it's got a union member, the head of the auto union of this district in Detroit, at a meeting wearing a Mercedes-Benz big blingy logo with diamonds on it around his neck, screaming at a meeting about how the government needs to protect American jobs in the auto industry because we can't make a living wage. Okay, wow. Guy who can't make a living wage with a diamond-encrusted necklace
Of a foreign car company,
man. I swear, that is like the funniest unintentional thing I think I've ever seen anywhere, man.
There you go. The one caveat I wanted to say about the whole Detroit thing, there is this tension between, you know, some people doing some natural order stuff that's really great. You know, like Lou was saying, there are people who are getting together and buying ambulances. And Karen DeCoster has pointed out that people are building like bus shelters and all sorts of amazing things. But at the same time, I don't think we should be pointing to it as, hey, that's Libbear, because that's a bad thing. Just like in Somalia, we can't point to Somalia and say that's Libbear. What happened?
Because there's still a government.
Well, there's still the state.
Well, you know, there's the government. Remember the guy in Detroit who put a vegetable garden in an abandoned lot and got feeding the neighbors because they were starving because it's Detroit, and then like got fined by the city and like they bulldozed all his work and then charged him for bulldozing it.
Right, right. Yeah, there's still a government that's there, even though they might not have enough resources to tyrannize everybody to their content. It's A, still there, and B, the state is still there for the most part. You know, a lot of these people are just trying to do the good thing for the neighbor, which is good. You don't have to know, but it's at the same time, it's not like society progressed to a point where we all understand the non-aggression principle and we've just shed the state.
Yeah,
it's that old analogy that Molyneux likes to point out, that if the church burns down, people don't automatically become atheists because they don't get to go to church anymore. You know, you didn't evolve to that state through some kind of social enlightenment. It's just the old structure imploded, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a vacuum. So it's, I don't think when statists point out, oh, well, look at Detroit and look at rural Mexico and look at Somalia, you can't give them the satisfaction of saying, hey, that's a stateless society. No, the state's still there. The government might not be powerful enough, but the government and the state are different, i.e. Ben Stone.
Worms. Yep. So Adam Kokesh. Talk about Adam Kokesh a little bit. He's a guy we kind of dig some of his stuff. He's an activist, liberty guy, goes out on the street with a video camera and does really hilarious, really educational videos where he goes up to statists and asks them questions and films the result. We like it. He also does a podcast that's kind of rambly. I mean, that's the pot calling the kettle black, but he does a talk show via podcast that's kind of rambly. It can be okay. It can be bad. It can be good. But he is doing a march where he is calling for 1,000 people armed to show up at Arlington National Cemetery and get together and then walk across the bridge to Washington, D.C. Now, I wouldn't be caught dead in Washington, D.C. I used to live in Arlington, Virginia, and I can tell you that for a fact, the place that they are starting out is federal land. It's not Virginia land. So Virginia's, you know, in Virginia, you could legally open carry a gun. That is not true in Arlington National Cemetery. The bridge is, you know, disputed zone between D.C. and federal land and Virginia. And then once you get to D.C., you've got the Metro Police, the FBI, blah, 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 woof, woof. First of all, I just wouldn't go to D.C. Why would I want to go to a place where I can't legally carry a gun? I used to live there, too, where you really need a gun because it's kind of like, neighborhoods of it are kind of like mini Detroits. It's just wrecked. It's the district of criminals. So you got like the gangs who have guns, and then you've got the government gang that has guns, and you can't have a gun. And why would you go there, man? I wouldn't go within 100 miles of D.C. I really wouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
But Adam's point is valid that what he's doing should be legal constitutionally. But to me, that kind of almost gets into or even attracts like sovereign citizen kind of thinking, which we criticize as, you have a valid point that taxes are unconstitutional, but there are no magic words to make them not payable. You know, magic words.
It assumes that statists care at all about your valid point, which they don't. You know, if a SWAT team is raiding you and they get the wrong house, no amount of you explaining that is going to help, especially if you're, you know, if you're armed and you're like, well, it's my right to be armed. They don't care that you have a right to be armed in your own house when they're raiding you.
They'll yell,
he's got a gun, and they will start shooting.
Kill you. They did that with a decorated U.S. veteran. Yeah, in Arizona.
I forget his last name, but yeah, in Arizona. They got the wrong, it was just the address wrong, or maybe they had wrong information, some tip-off that was just
Maybe
erroneous.
Somebody didn't like their neighbor, you know, because, you know, maybe, who knows?
Yeah. But I guess that's my point. And, you know, there is there's a PR aspect to this thing that Kokesh is doing. Like, well, this will get a lot of attention and a lot of internet media has already picked up on it. And
well,
is talking
about
it's
performance art. And, you know, one of the like the praises I've heard of Cody Wilson is that his whole printable gun thing is absolutely wonderful performance art. And I've even heard Pirate Bay described as long running performance art. And when I think the term performance art, I used to be really against that. Like I went to a lot of things in San Francisco that were like someone standing on a stage with five people in the audience while the lady on stage slaps herself in the head with some meat and like recites poetry.
Super meat girl.
Yeah. And I'm not kidding. I've seen that. So that's what I used to think of as performance art is like, you know, things that people who have no discernible talent do in front of other people that anybody should be embarrassed to be doing. But the new kind of performance
like the kid
art
in kindergarten who would eat worms for money.
Worms. Yeah. Worms. Yeah. But the new kind of performance art that's a political, you know, kind of ANCAP, LibPair performance art. I'm digging it, man. I mean, I dig the idea of Pirate Bay. I dig the idea of Cody's printable guns. And I really like what Cody said. And I dig what Adam's trying to do. I'm worried, though. I'm worried. And I like what Cody said yesterday about how his printable gun thing has gotten a lot of people who either had no opinion on guns or didn't like guns to be like, yeah, guns are good because the government's trying to take away our internet privileges and send us to our room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is, Adam's a free man, and nothing I can say can stop him anyway. We'll see what this has in store. But I do take the concerns that people like Ben Stone have voiced seriously, that, you know, the state doesn't care. The employees of the state, i.e. the government, they don't care. And this could be a very dangerous thing, and it probably won't go how you expect it to go. It's playing with
fire. It would
fire.
Also be a great place for any state or faction of any state or any splinter of any government, maybe not even the U.S. government, maybe a foreign government, any bad guys to send in a false flag guy, like someone who's either nuts and will shoot, or someone who's been programmed to be nuts and will shoot, or just, you know, or to put on a wig and send someone, you know, put on a wig. Like Jell-O used to sing, I'll slip on a wig and see if I can start a riot, you know, like they used to do in demonstrations, COINTELPRO yeah. stuff.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, a lot of the alternative media is already on the side of gun freedom and is already on the side of something like Kokesh and saying that he has the right to do this. So he's not really going to convince anybody or win any converts from the choir there. And the establishment media, they're going to paint this the wrong way and spin yeah. this the wrong way. Like, these guys are psychos. So who are you really winning over here? I don't know if you're winning anybody
over.
Yeah,
and I'm not. I would never tell anybody, you're doing it wrong. I really backed Alex Jones when he went blah, 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 at Pierce B-hole Morgan. I thought it was great. And everyone's like, oh, that's not putting a good face on gun ownership. We're gun owners. We're responsible and calm. And I'm like, yeah, but Pierce B-hole Morgan is insane and he's wrong. And it's okay to just rant at him and not answer his questions. But that was talking. Okay. And I guess I'm a pussycat because I'm like, hey, talking's better than action. But the action of taking armed march, a stroll across the bridge into D.C., as it were, with the guns, people could get shot by the government.
Yeah.
I don't want another Kent State. And Kent State wasn't, this isn't another Kent State happening, because Kent State, the people who were shot were not armed.
Well, the other thing is, not only will the establishment media spin this the wrong way, but it'll get lost in history or ignored in history. It's very possible if the establishment continues to control what gets taught. A great example is the bonus army of people who were war veterans trying to get their bonus money that was promised to them, albeit a little early, but they went in to peacefully protest for their money, and they got gooned, like hardcore.
By people who were considered the greatest military leaders of all time. I mean, it was like Patton and who else was it? Roosevelt? No, Patton and Eisenhower were there, like, you know, hitting and shooting at American vets, at honorable vets, asking for what they were owed.
Right, right. And nobody knows that. That wasn't some big PR win for the bonus army. That's something you have to search hard to find and hear it from somebody else before you even think of it as a thing to research.
Yeah, Ben Stone says it well. Like, any kind of hope to be a martyr, you know, either you'll be ignored by history or you'll be co-opted, you know? You know, do you think Gandhi wanted a standing army in India? That was the result of his martyrdom.
Yeah, or a war with Pakistan and Muslims in a giant... Yeah, he didn't want that at all. You know, it's the who would Jesus drone? Nobody.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that are cheerleading for the drone program claim to be followers of Jesus.
That's just blows my mind. My mind, my head's going poof and exploding, figuratively, all over the mixing board.
Yeah, yeah, like Mike Mahoney in our movie.
Poof. My head deploys with a luxurious poof. You know, I like to read screenplays, and there's one that I really liked. It was a line, and it said, "The airbag deploys with a luxurious poof."
Poof. What does luxurious poof sound like?
I don't know, but we'll be back for our tweak and review after these trips to the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download in Cedar Torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
La 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 la. It's Nima Vedati of the Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends Live, and we've got Michael W. Dean.
Michael W. Dean, broadcasting from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location inside of a mountain in rural Wyoming.
And it is time for a new tradition, a new segment that was created yesterday, as Michael affectionately refers to
as... We didn't name it until after the show. So this is, we're going to end every show with the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Yeah, it's the Tweak and Review. Okay, so the Tweak and Review, we go over what we talked about, like Yo Gabba Gabba, the best children's show of all time. So, first, Mother's Day. Watch T2 with your mom, and you will love her more, and she will love you more, and you can discuss how to destroy Skynet. Ah, but beware of the great man fallacy. One man is not the answer. And that goes for either... Ever, exactly. It goes for either killing one man, i.e. you kill Miles Dyson, big whoop, Skynet still happens. That's why there was a 3 and 4. Or B, following one man. If Skynet killed John Connor, there'd still be somebody to lead the resistance or the revolution or whatever you want to call it. Ideas are where it's at, right? The state is in your mind, so the antidote to the state is also in your mind. You just need to infect or inject that antidote or inoculate against the indoctrinate by explaining the state to people. That's how you win the battle. You can't kill an idea.
And explain the gun under the pile of papers that is every law. Now, I'm just dancing. I'm just going to let you go. I'm just dancing to the rhythm of your speech,
dance
man.
Dance to the rhythm. Yes. All right. So, yeah, man, the state is in your mind, so the antidote is also in your mind. You know, Ron Paul always says you can't stop a great idea. And that's because as long as the idea is out there, it is just like the printable gun. You can't remove it by just ending one thing. You know, the printable gun didn't go away when the State Department had Cody Wilson remove it from his site because it's now dispersed. It was an idea. It's something on hard drives of a computer and people know about it. So it is not get riddable. It's like getting pee out of a pool. All right. So moving on. Detroit, yeah. Right? If the church burns down, the village doesn't become atheist. So while there are great stories of voluntary interaction taking the place of former state functions and government functions, don't let the liberals or the statists point to Detroit as, well, Detroit is your lib pair, because it's not. People didn't all of a sudden read a bunch of Rothbard or listen to a bunch of Fiends or Ben Stone and go, hey, let's do all this great stuff and we'll just ignore the government. No, the government stopped working because of its inherent inconsistency. It collapsed under its own statism, and then people are trying to evolve to fill the gap. And maybe one day Detroit will be a lib pair, and maybe it's leading the day, but that's not it right now. Finally, Kokesh. Think before you march into the belly of the empire with rifles, right? Ben likes to say, hey guys, basic military strategy here, and I'll expand on that a little bit. You know, I've been playing I'm very fond of military tactics games.
Poser.
Maybe. But I like to play chess, and there's a genre of video games called strategic RPGs, which is basically like a chessboard, but you have characters and you build them, and it's an army. But here's the thing. Oh, and this kills two birds with one stone, because it goes against the great man theory, too. Sometimes in the mission, you just have to get, or even in chess, you just get the king. The whole point is to get the king. That doesn't work. You know, let's grant a thought experiment here. Say Kokesh's 1,000-man open carry army marches on DC, and theoretically, there's some battle, which there would never be, and they win the battle. You know, that's not going to happen. The world isn't like it was 200-300 years ago. There's drones and there's bombers and there's goons everywhere. But say Kokesh did destroy Washington, D.C., if that's the thought experiment here. That doesn't mean the state is gone. That doesn't mean the United States collapses. That doesn't mean all of a sudden we become a bunch of ANCAPs. No, the country will band together and they will rebuild DC, and that'll be the mission, and they'll be unified in doing it. It wouldn't solve the problem one iota. I don't even think it'd slow down the state. I think the state would be strengthened by it. And you can see this in the sanctions in Iran, right? Or any of American foreign policy. When you go in and an outside power tries to take down the internal structure of that government, people rally around that government. They don't care about the interlopers. They just sense an outside attack, and so they rally together, and they're stronger. So you do nothing but play into the hands of the state when you do stuff like that.
I'm on the chat room chatting with Nima's mama and making a date to hang out with Nima's grandfather.
Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.